whether or not you have family or not around, that we are your family. And Bonnie and I feel that very much, and we're thankful for the related family we have here in the valley. But we've always felt really at home here, and we are so thankful for the church. And wow, last Sunday's service was so good. We should have maybe just run a video of that this morning. Pastor's sermons are always so good. But we're going to talk about family, and in talking about family, first of all, we're going to talk about everybody, about all of us, but I'm going to read some scripture, and then we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to wade into this thing. So if you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, Janie did a really good job of picking out the most important verses from all of this, and I appreciate that. They're in the bulletin. So if you don't have a Bible, and oh yes, we're going to have it on the screen. Excellent. Our people back there do such a good job. And thank you, Cindy. All right. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's for everybody. And then it says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Let's underline that, everything. Husbands. Now, I don't like this next section, but I'm going to read it. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, the way Christ loved the church, husbands ought to love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of this body. For this reason, a lot of people miss this verse. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, since I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents. Where'd they go? We're all here. I read this and I'm thinking, yeah, I was always a child to my parents, and they lived into their 90s, so it was a long time before I wasn't a child anymore. And well, yeah, my kids are in their 50s, so yeah, they're still my kids. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, this verse, I think, really applies to all of us as long as our parents are alive. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord and not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one of you for whatever good they do, and whatever, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there's no favoritism with him. You might wonder why I read that part, and I'll explain that. But let's have a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the service so far. I mean, this has been a great service. Music's been wonderful. I just love the little children, love seeing the children up in front, and it's good to hear their voices upstairs. And we're just thankful for our children, and thankful, Lord, for honoring the children. We thank you for Lexi, and she's been given a gift, but there's just nothing that could really repay her for all she does. We just thank you for her. Lord, as we look at your word, we look at these things, I pray, God, that you will help apply this to each of our hearts so that we will fully understand what you were saying in the book of Ephesians. I just want to say that Ephesians is a wonderful book. I read it this week. I read it last week. I knew I'd already been directed by Deb that this would be what I would preach on. And she let me pick the scriptures, but you know, family. So there's not too many. There's Colossians and this, and then there's some other good things, you know, but it's all good. It's all good. It only takes about an hour to read it. And if you read the whole book, you get a really good understanding of what Paul's saying here. And since it only takes an hour to read it, I would suggest turn your television off for an hour and read it, or, you know, put your video game aside for an hour and read it. Whatever it is that you're doing for fun, do this, read this. Our president wants a baby boom, and Kelly right now is really working on it. Savannah's done her part. He throws this stuff out and you don't know if it's going to happen or not because he just keeps throwing stuff out. Talking about giving $5,000 for every baby born alive and, oh my goodness, maybe you should have waited a couple years. But anyway, you'd still take it, right? That probably won't happen. Who knows? But he wants a baby boom. Elon Musk is trying to create a baby boom. He's got 14 children, a few that are his legitimately, and the thing that I see is they have no concept of the importance of family and parents and a strong family and parents. Just having babies doesn't solve anything, but having strong families and having good parents solves a whole lot of stuff, because family today are in trouble. I mean, face it, they're in trouble. And oftentimes Christians do what unbelievers do. They kind of call it quits on their family. I had a bad marriage for 30 years, and my wife was unfaithful to me for 25 of those 30 years, and it was miserable. But I always felt, because I love God and because of how much I had been forgiven, that I had to forgive her. And so time after time, and I always thought it was going to go better. And then finally at the end, she left me, and she delivered divorce papers to me. And she was already with another man at that time. And so 4 years later, after a long period of recovery, my precious wife Bonnie and I met, and her husband was killed in a tragic accident. She was seriously injured in that accident. And she recovered in those 4 years, and I recovered in a different way in those 4 years, and we met at our church camp. And I am so thankful for where God has put me. I also believe, and Bonnie believes, that if we hadn't been faithful to God all our lives, that we wouldn't have these spiritual blessings now. And so there's definitely a spiritual blessing in being faithful, staying faithful, and serving God. So the very first verse that we read goes for everyone, and if you read the whole book of Ephesians, you'll understand that better. Submit to one another out of love, out of respect for Christ. I'm not opposed to family counseling. I think it's a really good thing, secular counseling. But I just want to say that very often the start of problems in a family and the start of problems in a marriage are spiritual problems. People need to get their spiritual heads on straight. They need to get themselves in line with what Jesus Christ taught and is teaching, and in line with the church, and in line with being submissive to one another. I think that would solve a world of problems. I really do. Boy, counseling's a great thing. I've been in counseling time or two. I have a daughter that is a counselor and a very good one. And those things can really help a lot. But first of all, get your spiritual heads on straight. So the first thing that Paul talks about, wives, submit your husband. I have a picture for you. Yeah, there it is. Now, in the Peterson family, when the wife's having a little trouble submitting, but look at how she likes that. No. Submission's a dirty word to a lot of people nowadays and to our society. But if you understand it in the biblical context, it really isn't it is not that dirty of a word. We all have to submit to authority. Romans chapter 13, Paul goes into detail about how important it is to have people in authority. And we have a president, we have a Congress, and we have judicial, co-equal pieces of our government. And right now they are struggling with each other, which is probably good. We all have to submit to authority. If you don't think you have to submit to authority, the next time you don't notice the 45-mile-an-hour speed limit and you're doing 60 and the policeman pulls you over, try running. They will catch you. They will find you. And you will submit to their authority. Submission, this is important. Submission is a Christian attitude. A Christian is a person who acknowledges Jesus Christ as Lord. And when you say Lord, you assume submission. One of the things that Jesus said that always comes to my mind, Jesus says to his disciples one time, he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I ask you?" Wow. And you know, I think, you know, that's something that we probably should keep in our conscience and question ourselves time to time, say, you know, am I doing what Christ asked me to do, or am I just doing my own thing? And we'll talk more about that when we get to the man. But the whole picture is, and what verse 21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then wives, submit to your husbands. Well, we're submitting to one another. Wives, submit to your husbands. We acknowledge that we need leadership. We need leadership in the home. Bonnie and I were talking the other day. She didn't know what I was preaching about, but we were talking about the fact that we really don't fight. And I said, I think one of the reasons is we were married before and we were done with fighting. We'd done all we needed to. But we have discussions, and it's not that we don't disagree on things, you know. We've got a couch that should have brought a picture of that, too. It's only 9 years old, and it's still a good couch. I rebuilt it a few years ago when it broke down, and it is really solid. In fact, it's so solid, it kind of pitches forward, and Bonnie says, "Well, it kind of makes you want to leave." And I said, "Well, that's where we place our guests." And I tell her, you know, we can't get rid of it till it's 10 years old. And I shouldn't have told her how old it is, probably. She just heard that, I'm sure. That's one of the things we kind of disagree on. Bonnie's a decorator, you know, and the couch just doesn't fit into the decorations anymore, apparently. So you know, I'll probably submit to her in that in sometime in the future here. Back in the day that Paul was writing this, women were chattel. They were not much higher than slaves. So when the Apostle Paul says to the husbands, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, it doesn't sound too radical to us because we're living in a Christian generation. We're living in a Christian time. Doesn't sound too radical. But in the day that Paul was writing this, and I've been in Ephesus, I've been in Colossae, I probably don't say those right, Barry will straighten me out. He's the student and the teacher. I'm just kind of a preacher. It was actually been 50 years since I was there, but I visited those places. Back in that day, women were treated very poorly. And there was all kinds of things I won't go into that they did. but you know, wasn't, you know, having affairs, having extra women, that was not a problem. Wives were for children and ordering the house, that was it. Didn't have to love them. So Paul says, love your men, love your husbands, love your wives. Love your wives. Love is a particular Christian attitude. Submission is a particular Christian attitude. It's our responsibility before our Lord and Savior. It's natural for us to be selfish. If you don't think it's natural to be selfish, just visit with one of these little children after the service and try and take something from them. They'll let you know. They don't like to share. It's very natural. We're born that way. Here's the thing. Men are better at being selfish than women. Yeah. It's a fact. Men have a bigger battle with it than women do. So the Apostle Paul bore down on women very strongly. Men are innately insensitive and selfish creatures. You heard it here. Is there an objection? It really demonstrates love for a husband to begin to unselfishly give himself up for his wife. It really demonstrates love for a husband to begin to unselfishly give himself up for his wife. Here's something you could think about. Start listening. Maybe she's got a point. Ooh. Well, if your husband's not here, this will be online. I read her lips. Start listening. Maybe she's got a point. It's part of your spiritual worship to love as much as Christ loves you, as much as Christ loves his church. And this is something that I can absolutely guarantee you. Blessings will flow into your life if you submit to Christ. Amen. Blessings will flow into your life. If you just do this one thing as husbands, I'm talking to husbands again, if you just do this one thing, marriages and families will flourish. And the kids are upstairs, and it says, children, obey your parents, so I'm not going to preach to them, but, you know, we don't want to forget the children, the chips off the old block. So we'll just talk a little bit about discipline, and if you're not actively disciplining children, maybe you can pass this on to someone who is doing that. Here's a fact. People nowadays discipline because they want peace and quiet. It's not about the kids. It's about the adults. Now, when I was growing up, not my parents' generation, but the generation before my parents, you've probably heard this. Children should be heard and not seen. You've never heard that? When I was a kid, we'd go to the farm, and all my cousins would be there, and it was just a wonderful time. We first had to go into the house, behave. We had to go in and look at our great-grandfather who was still alive, and he was a miserable old grump. And we had to be nice, and we go in there and stand there while he verbally abused us. And and then as soon as we'd done that duty, we could go play. We could go have fun. After that, we left the house. And the order and the word was, even in the winter, like at Thanksgiving in South Dakota, can be pretty bad, and Christmas. And we'd go outside. We'd put our clothes on. We'd go outside, and we'd run around till we got cold. And then we'd go into the barn, and there were a lot of animals in there, so the barn was warm. We'd go up in the hayloft, and the hayloft was a wonderful place. You could slide down the hay. You could grab hay needles and poke your cousins. And we just had a wonderful time there. There weren't any adults to separate us, so we didn't get any bad fights. And then they'd ring a bell, and we'd go in to eat. And once again, we had to be seen and not heard. But they pretty much practiced that. I don't respect that. But we also have developed a lack of respect for authority. And the problems in the home. It's our job as parents to equip our children for life, to equip our children for their future. I raised two children who are in their 50s, not children anymore, but they're my kids. But you know, here's one of the things that I've always advised people, here's one of the things I really think is true. You need to learn your children. You got little kids, you need to learn who they are, because every person is different. Every child is different. And you need to discipline your children according to what their personalities are. My daughter was not related to me. She was born a perfectionist. Had to have straight A's, graduated valedictorian, not related to me at all, except I just donated the sperm. She had emotional issues all the time because she had to be perfect. The only way, you know, if she did something I didn't like, I'd say, I'm disappointed, and she'd cry. My son definitely related to me. Nate, I'm disappointed. Life's tough, Dad, get over it. He preferred being spanked because it was over quick and he could go do something else evil again. But what he couldn't stand, but he was very much a people person, still is, what he couldn't stand was being isolated. And I figured that out fairly early in his life. And so I would send him to his room, and here's what I would tell him. You go to your room and don't you come back out until you can be a decent part of society and a decent part of this family and treat everybody with respect. Didn't take him very long to have that change. He'd come back out, he'd be just a nice guy. Didn't last, but, you know, the next day he'd be doing something. I put a lock on his sister's door one time because he's always going in there and stirring up the pot. And I put a lock on her door and he says to me with a really grumpy look, "How come she gets a lock and I don't?" And I says, "Because nobody wants to go into your filthy, dirty room. And we have to keep you out of your sister's room so you're not harassing her." And it stayed that way, and I assume he learned a lesson. I assume he learned a wonderful lesson. So, don't exasperate your children, it says. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. That is so important. And like Jason said this morning, children accept the Lord at an early age. When they're led to the Lord, when they're taught about the Lord, they accept the Lord. And it's they just have so much better life. And it's not that there aren't, as a pastor, I loved it when somebody that was a huge sinner was dramatically changed. It was a great thing, and it was a great thing for the church. But it's so much better if a person grows up in the nurture of the Lord. We are to mutually submit. As you probably remember, I love hymns. This particular hymn we sang in my Michigan church a lot, and I've never heard it sung congregationally since, and I've been away from there 40-some years. But it's a favorite of mine. I was singing it to my wife yesterday, and she wanted me to sing it to you. I won't do that to you, but it's by George Matheson. It's called "Make Me a Captive, Lord." And you sang the song that said this: "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Make me a captive, Lord, and then I shall be free. Force me to render up my sword, and I shall conquer be. I sink in life's alarms when by myself I stand. Imprison me within thine arms, and strong shall be my hand. My power is faint and low, till I have learned to serve. It wants the needed fire to glow, it wants the breeze to nerve. It cannot be not drive the world until itself be driven. Its flag can only be unfurled when thou shalt breathe from heaven. My will is not my own, till thou hast made it thine. If it would reach a monarch's throne, it must its crown resign. It only stands unbent amid the clashing strife when on thy bosom it has leant and found in thee its life." It's not just a beautiful hymn, it's a great poem, and there's so much truth in it.